Shalom Chavarim, this is John Parsons with Hebrew for Christians, wishing you Shavua Tov B'Shem Yeshua Mashiachenu, a good week in the Messiah Yeshua. Yehi Shem Adonai Mevarach. May His great name, the name above all names, be magnified in us, Chavarim. Now our Torah portion for this week is called Parshat Chukat. The Hebrew word Chukat is actually a construct form of the noun Chok, meaning decree. So it really means the decree of when it's used in relation to something definitive, in this case, the Torah. So Chukat HaTorah is actually the full name of this Torah reading. It begins this way, Zot Chukat HaTorah Asher Tziva Adonai. This is the decree of the Torah. And then it goes on to say, take a red cow, para aduma. Now the mitzvah of the red cow is called the decree of the Torah here, as if it were the central mitzvah, thereby highlighting the necessity of faith, and in particular faith that believes healing from death is obtained by a divine exchange of the pure for the impure. And that's generally the essence of the idea of atonement or kapara, namely what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5, where he said, He has made him, that is Yeshua, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now that's what I've called the Korban principle, or the life for life principle of representative or substitutionary atonement, implied and foreshadowed in the Torah and its sacrificial system, the idea of semicha, that is laying your hands or leaning upon the head of an innocent sacrificial victim given on your behalf as a substitute for your sin in your life, an exchange taking place before God at the Mishkan, the altar. And we find it expressed and fully realized in the person of Yeshua, especially as he sacrificed himself upon the cross for our sin, interceding on our behalf as our great Kohen Gadol, or High Priest of Brit Chadasha, the New Covenant, trusting in the sacrifice of Messiah as our righteousness before the Father, the divine exchange taking place through faith, embracing and receiving the blessing of God through the gift of Messiah for us. That's what it means to be united with Messiah, being identified in His death, burial, and resurrection and ascension on your behalf. There's an exchange life that takes place, and that's critical to your spiritual life, to live in that identity that God gives to you. It's a matter of faith. You have to receive it by faith. It's not something empirical. You don't look through carnal eyes to see this thing. It is a thing of faith, and you have to ask God to make the miracle manifest in you through the gift of God, through the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Amen. May it happen for us and in us, O Lord, through Messiah. Now in our Sefer Torah, that is the Hebrew Torah scroll, we read the beginning of this portion this way, Vaydaber Adonai el Moshe, and God spoke to Moses, Ve'al Aharon, and to Aaron, Lemor, saying, Zot Chukat HaTorah, this is the decree of the Torah, Asher Tziva Adonai, that the Lord has commanded. That's from Numbers 19, 1 and 2, which is the beginning of our Torah portion, which continues until chapter 22, verse 1. Now, among other things, our Torah reading includes three amazing pictures of the coming of the Messiah of Israel. First, the mysterious red heifer sacrifice, Para Aduma. Now, this special sacrifice made the one who offered it unclean, but the one upon whom the ashes of the sacrifice was sprinkled was made clean. And so it's a paradoxical sacrifice, as we'll see. The water and the blood represented by the ashes of the red heifer that was sacrificed entirely, including its blood, and the water, the Mayim Chaim, of purification that held the ashes and was used for sprinkling. As David said, sprinkle me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Second, the striking of the rock at Meribah. This is Moses' great sin, but it also foreshadows the work of Messiah. And third, the image of the bronze serpent, Nechash Nechoshet, that was put on a pole. Actually, the Hebrew word is nes, meaning a sign or a standard or even a miracle. And the act of faith of looking to this lifted up snake, this crucified snake, if you will, would heal people who had been bitten by the venom of the serpent. It's a figure of Yeshua healing us from our sin. Whoever looked upon the snake upon the pole would be healed. Of course, Yeshua himself used the picture of the Nachash lifted on the pole to indicate his sacrificial death to Nicodemus. Luke and John's Gospel, chapter 3, 14 and 15, where it's written, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." That's just before the famous verse given in the New Testament concerning the way of salvation. "Ki chen ohev Elohim et ha'olam, for this is how God loves the world, ki natan et beno yechido, that he gave his only begotten Son, v'chol ha'ma'amin bo, that whoever believes in him, lo yavad, will not perish, kim vo yimsa chaye olam, but will have everlasting life." That's John 3:16 in Hebrew. Now, I have that on Hebrew for Christians website, so if you want to learn that or write it down and memorize it, there's PDF files there for you to download. So it's evident that God didn't want us to miss this connection, friends. But the story of the lifted up serpent is a picture of something greater, of course, and that is the message of the cross, the gospel, and that we find healing from the plague of spiritual death by putting our trust, by looking to and clinging to God's remedy for sin given in the Messiah. Yehi Shem Adonai HaMavarach. So Lord, would you please help us this week take hold of the truth of your word, embrace it, be part of our inner life, our philosophy, our way of seeing and experiencing reality, trusting in you every step of the way, seeing how you're prefigured and foreshadowed and typified and manifest in the Torah, the Holy Torah, that you meant to be given as the foundation from which we would understand the ministry of Yeshua here in our midst. So please help us take hold, God. Take away any blindness of heart, any stubbornness, any pride in us. Help us to walk in humility and in gratitude before you, Lord. Help us to be grateful and walk in the light of your truth always. I ask this in the holy name of Yeshua, our beloved one. Amen. Now, I have on the Hebrew for Christians website some resources on this week's Torah reading that I think you should avail yourself of if you want to dig deeper. Please download, first of all, the Shabbat Table Talk on Parshat Chukat, where I go through the text in some detail and provide further insights from both the sages and from my own reflections that I think you might find helpful. And also, there's an earlier Shavua Tov broadcast that I did on Parshat Chukat last year that I'm not repeating here for the sake of brevity. So instead of repeating last year's broadcast to you here, which incidentally runs over an hour long, I'm just going to touch on some further themes of this week's Torah reading with you. So one thing I want to emphasize is the importance of the decree of the red heifer. Now this, again, not to belabor the point, but I think it's so essential to get this. This, again, is a special whole burnt or olah offering whose ashes were used to purify someone contaminated by contact with corpse, which of course is a manifestation of death. The red heifer had to be a perfect specimen that was completely red, without blemish, in which there was no defect. Now, the sages interpreted without blemish to refer to the cow's color. That is, it had to be without a single white or black hair. This is the only sacrifice in Torah where the color of the animal is explicitly acquired. Moreover, this cow was never to have a yoke upon it, meaning that it must never have been used for any profane purposes. It was dedicated, if you will, from the beginning to be a sacrificial life given to God. But this is a very unique sacrifice, and unlike other sacrifices offered at the altar at the tabernacle, and of course later at the temple, the red heifer was taken outside the camp to be slaughtered before the priest, who then took some of its blood and sprinkled it 7 times before the tabernacle, or again the temple. Then the red heifer would be burned in its entirety. Its hide, flesh, blood, and even dung were to be burned. Now this is quite unlike other Levitical sacrifices. And also, unlike other offerings, the blood of the sacrifice was to be completely burned in the fire. Now that's very significant. Hyssop, scarlet yarn, and a cedar stick were then thrown upon the burning red heifer, which were the very same items used to cleanse from sarat, or skin disease, sometimes mistranslated as leprosy. Now these items, along with the blood of the heifer, which therefore assimilated into the ashes of the sacrifice, and were then gathered and mixed with living water to create what was called the waters of separation. Anyone that came into contact with a corpse was required to be cleansed using these waters before they could enter into ritual acts at the temple or other places. The purification procedure took a full 7 days, using 3 stalks of hyssop dipped into the water and shaken over the defiled person on the 3rd day, and then again on the 7th day. After the 2nd sprinkling, the person was immersed in a mikvah, that's a ritual pool of water, and was declared clean the following evening. Note that this is the only sacrifice in all of the Torah that contaminated the priest who offered it. And this is paradoxical because the priest is made unclean, but the one to whom the priest ministers is made clean. And that, of course, is a picture of Yeshua, who became sin for us. The clean became unclean so that we might become the righteousness of God through him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Another essential metaphor or image given in the Torah this week concerning Yeshua has to do with the serpent on the pole, as I've already mentioned. As it says in the Torah reading, everyone who's bitten, when he sees it, shall live. That's Numbers 21, verse 8. The fiery serpent, now this is the very sting of which brings death, is what must be looked upon, confronted, and confessed. In other words, we have to look at what kills us, and by seeing it, we can then see God's miracle, the nace, that delivers us. Therefore, we look to the cross, the place where Yeshua clothed himself with our sickness and sin, to realize God's remedy for our eternal healing. So humanity as a whole has been bitten by the snake and needs to be delivered from its lethal venom. Just as the image made in the likeness of the destroying snake was lifted up for Israel's healing, so the one made in the likeness of sinful flesh, as it says in Romans 8:3, was to be lifted up as the healer of the world. Again, our Torah reading reminds us of the great principle of exchange, the Korban principle of life for life, the one made sin for us, that we might be delivered from sin and its verdict and its penalty and its curse. So Yeshua became a curse for us, dying on the cross, so that we are set free from the curse of the law, the verdict of the law, not the law itself, not the Torah itself, but the curse of the law, and therefore are able and empowered by God, by his Spirit, to walk in newness of life. This was all foretold by God. As it's written in our scriptures, Hine yamim ba'im na'um Adonai. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. Vecharati et Beit Yisrael ve'Beit Yehuda brit chadasha. When I will cut a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Lo chabrit asher charati et avotam. Not like the covenant which I made with the fathers. Beyom Hezeki Vayadam Lehotziam Me'eretz Mitzrayim, in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, Asher Hema Heferu et Brit, which covenant they broke, Va'anochi Ba'altivam Ne'um Adonai, although I was a husband to them, says the Lord. Ki Zota Brit Asher Echrot et Beit Yisrael, but this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel. Acharei hayamim hahem ne'um Adonai, after those days, declares the Lord, natati et torati bekirbam, I will put my Torah within them, ve'al libam echtavenna, and upon their heart I will write it, ve'hayiti lahem le'lohim, and I will be for them God, ve'hema yiyuli le'am, and they will be for me a people. That's from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 31 through 33. So the essence of the new covenant, the covenant of our Messiah, is one in which Torah truth is written upon our hearts, and we're in new relationship with God as our Father and as our Deliverer. So this is something we can rest in, and the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, empowers us to walk with the Lord to do His will. So praise His name. Returning now to the Torah portion, let me also mention the great sin of Moses that's mentioned in our Torah reading. And that is found in the book of Numbers, chapter 20. God said, speak to the rock, but Moses struck the rock twice with his staff. Now, this was Moses' sin for which his punishment was exile from the promised land. Now, that punishment might seem severe, but God intended Moses' actions to be prophetic. When the people first demanded water at Rephidim, Moses was told to strike the rock with his staff. That's back in the book of Exodus, chapter 17, verse 6. The Hebrew word used to describe how Moses struck the rock is the same word used to describe how Yeshua was smitten by God in the book of Isaiah, namely Isaiah 53, verse 4. So the rock symbolized the Messiah, the one stricken for his people to give them the waters of life, as it's mentioned in Isaiah 55 and 1 Corinthians 10:4. But Moses' act of disobedience implied that the rock needed to be stricken again to give life instead of just speaking to it as the living rock. In his frustration, Moses lost sight of the Lord by suggesting that he and Aaron were responsible for the miracle of the water. He said, "Listen, you rebels, shall we bring forth water for you?" That's Numbers 20, verse 10. And God could not leave those words unanswered before the people. That is why God told Moses that his exile from the land was a result of his sin in not sanctifying or honoring the name of the Lord before the people of Israel. Verse 20, verse 12. Now the Jewish sages are often dismayed that Moses was bereft of seeing his dream come true by entering the promised land, but we know, based on the New Testament, that there is a happy ending regarding Moses' story. Look at Matthew 17, verse 3, where Moses is with Yeshua on the mountain during Yeshua's transfiguration. Well, friends, this is an amazing Torah portion, and there's a considerable amount of writing that I've done over the years on this subject and the themes related to Parshat Chukat, including the red heifer sacrifice, the serpent, and Yeshua being our serpent slayer, the definition and understanding of the atonement, the sin of Moses, the cleansing of the lepers, Shabbat Parah, and ultimately Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. These things are all embedded in this Torah reading, and so there's a lot of material I can't cover right now. So I recommend that you go to Hebrew for Christians and download the Shabbat Table Talk for Parshat Chukat and look at the various articles I've written over the years on these subjects. Well, let me end now with the blessing, Birkat Kohanim, wherein the name of Hashem, or the Lord, is put upon us as we become His bearers and witnesses, His emissaries, and we follow Him and bring light to this world, and we bring the healing and redemptive love of Messiah to bear to all those with whom we come into contact. May that be so. Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'ikuneka, yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His healing love, His blessing, His shalom. Amen. Chodesh Tov, Shavuot Tov, every blessing to you in Yeshua, our Messiah. Blessed be He. Shalom, shalom. Visit us at HebrewForChristians.com or Google Learn Hebrew Free.